Welcome to Going Behind the Word, a podcast of the Depores Pages podcasts. You can subscribe to this podcast at thefriar.org or wherever you get your podcast. Intro and exit music is Peaceful by Luca Fraula and is used with permission under the Creative Commons license. Hello and welcome to this edition of Going Behind the Word for the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. This is a podcast where we take a look at an idea or two that helps to provide some context so that perhaps we can understand better the readings that we're going to hear over the weekend. And for this episode, I thought we would look at this idea of salt, because in the gospel, Jesus is going to say to the disciples that they are the salt of the earth. And that's a kind of an interesting expression. I mean, I've heard it a lot. I don't think much about it, quite frankly. But I've never really thought, well, what does it mean? What is Jesus getting at when he talks about the salt of the earth? And one way to understand something in the Bible is to take a look at where else an idea comes up in other parts of the Bible, because it can help us to draw some really, really good conclusions that help us maybe to better understand what's happening here. And I think we're going to see an integral connection between how salt was used in the scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testament, and our own life as disciples, and then how this connects with the first reading that we're going to see. So there, I think there's going to be, hopefully when we get to the end, you're going to say, oh, of course, that's exactly so clear to me now, thank you. So when we look at this idea of salt, we see it in a variety of ways throughout the scriptures. And I want to start with the positive things that are associated with salt that might help us then to understand why this would have been such a good image for the disciples. So the first is, we look at the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel references salt a few times, but we're going to look in particular at the 16th chapter. And in the 16th chapter, in the 4th verse, he's talking about how things have not gone so well. And on the very day of the birth of the people of Israel, they did not have a great start. And one of the signs that they didn't have a great start is that they were newborns that were not rubbed with salt. And that was a common tradition in the ancient world. We don't exactly know why, but a lot of people think it was because it toughened the skin and provided some protection to the newborn. Remember, this isn't the age of kind of modern medicine, and we don't have Lysol products and so forth. So this was kind of seen as a way, perhaps, to toughen the newborn, to help the newborn to be protected from potential harm. So we're going to see that as one thing that is kind of important. Then we're going to look at a couple of other uses. So we see that salt is something also that preserves. And so when we see salt, it's often connected to this idea of a covenant, because a covenant is meant to last. And so the custom of having salt, first of all, it does preserve things so that something lasts. And a covenant is also an ancient symbol of friendship and alliance. And the salt was the way that that was often symbolized. The salt of the covenant with God, as we see in Leviticus, is about this symbol of friendship and alliance, which was very common in the ancient world. And it may have something to do also with the preservation power of salt that added this or made it the case. And we see this idea of a covenant being made again and again, that there's a purifying aspect of the use of salt. Mark talks about it in his gospel, and we hear it also specifically in the gospel where we are called to be the salt of the earth. And so it's really an important component, right, of this idea of salt. So it protects, it preserves, and in many ways it seals friendship and alliance. And why is this important? Why would this be connected then to being the salt of the earth? Well, think about the message of the gospel for a moment. First of all, this idea of friendship and alliance. When you really know someone, when you are really friends with someone, and you have this kind of experience of friendship and alliance, Isn't it because you trust them? Isn't it because there is some sense that you have come to believe that the person that teaches you, the person that's your friend, the person maybe that you've married, that there's this kind of powerful trust so that when they speak, when they act, when they try to persuade you or convince you of something, you're more inclined to believe them because there's a certain sense of being trustworthy. And so the salt of the earth is presenting a relationship that actually has this symbol of friendship and alliance. Secondly, the preserving power of salt. So we know that life is hard. It's not going to be easy. And so one of the things that we need to be sure of is that the love that God has for us is going to be preserved. So that by being the salt of the earth, the disciples demonstrate a way of living that is, in fact, going to help things to last. That the love of God is the ultimate thing that lasts. And then there's the notion of protection. We know, again, that life is hard. Things that could harm us are a part of our life. That could be something that we find could be difficult, is this notion that we could be harmed in life. And the salt is a way of protecting us. In a way, our relationship with God toughens us against the onslaught of evil. Not that we're spared always from experiencing it, but if we trust in God, we are protected from being done in by it. And that's really a very important point. Okay, so to protect, preserve, and as an ancient symbol of friendship and covenant with God. So we see the kind of threefold role of the positive side of salt. There's one other aspect that I think we need to bring in to understand how this gospel connects with what we hear in the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. So as we look at this here, I think we need to look a little bit at what happens when salt is not strong. What is it that happens when salt doesn't do what it's supposed to do? It doesn't protect, or it doesn't preserve, or it doesn't symbolize this kind of friendship, covenant, alliance that we have talked about. And the image that we see when salt is kind of a problem is the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is very appropriately named because it is, in fact, dead. Nothing flows out of the Dead Sea, and so the water never really refreshes, and it's filled with salt and all kinds of other things that keep life from growing. So we talk about protecting and preserving that power of salt, that's true, but it also kills. So it protects us also, we can see it as a way of preventing things from growing. It's why if you've had a tooth removed, you gargle with salt water, for example. And you can put salt on various wounds, and it does help them to heal. So the Dead Sea is the place now where, because nothing is going out, there's nothing fresh about the Dead Sea, it's literally dead. Now Ezekiel uses this image of the Dead Sea, which would have been very familiar to the people of Israel, and the fresh water, he contrasts the Dead Sea with the fresh water that comes from the temple. And if you remember the story, it's in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Clean water flows out of the temple, and the description is that things come to life wherever the fresh water touches, even the Dead Sea. And so for Ezekiel, the point is that this fresh water that comes from the temple offers hope to the exiles who are far from their homeland. That's the time when Ezekiel is writing, when they're in exile in Babylon. So this image is an important one for us to remember, because Jesus says then in the gospel that if salt goes flat, if it goes lifeless, well, how does salt do that? That's what's maybe not as clear as it could be in the gospel. Salt loses its flavor. Salt loses its taste when it gets mixed with too many other things. It no longer brings forth the great taste that we often want and associate with salt. It isn't able to preserve if other things, too many other things, get mixed in with the salt. And so what Jesus says, if you allow too many things that are not of God to get mixed in with your salt, the salt of your witness, the salt of going forth, being the salt of the earth, then in fact, it's tasteless. What is the image, or how does that apply to us today? I think it applies to us in this way. If we are only about trying to fit in with people around us, if we're only about trying to be like everybody else, then we're tasteless salt. We don't have a lot of flavor. We aren't providing people something that's different than anybody else. And how often do we want to fit in? And how often is it that we really don't want to stand out because of the difficulties in our own life? So when Jesus is saying, be the salt of the earth, he is also drawing our mind back to how we do that, which we hear in the book of the prophet Isaiah, who is also speaking to a people that need to hear about the new life. And Isaiah is very clear. So how do we remain salty? How is it that we remain and are the salt of the earth? By the way we act. That's what gives our salt witness life. That's how we're protected, because we're acting like Christ. That's how the covenant is preserved, because we're living out of this covenant to offer new life. That is how we actually have the friendship of God, which enables us then to see that everybody else that's in need, that's God. So there's a connection here to Matthew 25, where whoever we treat or don't treat, that's how we treat Jesus. And so how does our salt remain with a tremendous taste? How does it get people's attention? When we share our bread with the hungry, when we shelter the oppressed and the homeless, when we clothe the naked, when we don't turn our back on our own, then our light shines forth, just like that city we hear about in the gospel that's set on a hill. You can't miss it. The light is so powerful. Hopefully these ideas will help you understand the gospel a little bit better and help you to get a little bit more out of the homily that you hear wherever it is that you go to Mass. This is Going Behind the Word. Have a great week.